I was really excited when Pastor asked me to preach a sunrise service. But I tell you what, I feel like, you know, there's a lot to preach, and there's so much to the resurrection. And you know, when you look at it, Christmas, we celebrate Christ's birth, and we take a whole month. Well, really, I tell you what, you could very easily preach on the resurrection for an entire
right.
month.
Right.
And so, anyways, and it's just as important. And so, anyways, we're going to start now on our month-long sermon. And so, anyways, everybody take your Bibles, please, and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we're going to read two passages. I'll read the other passage, though, in Philippians. If you're very ambitious, you can turn there as well, Philippians chapter 3. But 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we're going to read verses 12 through 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 through 20. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false, witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins, then all they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. And then verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, the Bible says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day that we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we thank you so much for Christ's life and the fact that he was born of a virgin. And dear Heavenly Father, that he went through so much on the cross of Calvary for us. And all the suffering and the pain. But dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you that Christ had victory and that he rose from the grave. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just help us as we feebly attempt to try and recognize what you did and just to praise you and glorify you. And dear Heavenly Father, I pray that we as Christians would use this time as a rally cry in a very dark time. And I pray that you just help us to use it to motivate us to serve you, motivate us to share the gospel. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Like I said before, the resurrection is basically the foundation of everything that we believe. Christ about five times predicted that he would raise from the dead. And if the resurrection were not true, then the Bible is not the inspired word of God. We would have no gospel to preach, because the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And imagine for a moment if any one of those three were not the case. Imagine if he was not virgin born. He would not be the Son of God, and there would be no salvation. Imagine if he didn't die on the cross. Imagine if he died of old age. The thing about it is that would change the gospel. Imagine if, and so here's the thing, is that when it comes down to it, the resurrection is vitally important in the life of a Christian. And so here's the thing, is in the day when 1 Corinthians was written, I believe that there were some that denied the resurrection of the saints. And this is why I believe Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote 1 Corinthians 15. And, you know, there are some even today that don't understand the resurrection. They don't understand the rapture. They don't understand so many things. And here's the thing, is when it comes down to it, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 13, the Bible talks about this. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And so God ties the two together. And so when it comes down to it, if Christ did not raise from the dead, how do we know that he is the way, the truth, and the life? How do we know that he that believeth on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved? If Christ didn't raise from the dead, how do we know that the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin? How do we know that he has gone to prepare a place for me and will come again and receive me unto himself? And how do we know that death has lost its sting and the grave has been swallowed up in victory? How do we know that the Holy Spirit of God, who raised up Christ from the dead, shall also quicken my mortal body? How do we know that he shall appear and I shall be like him? How do we know that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in me? How do I know the promises of this book right here are worthy any more than the ink it took to print them on or the paper it took to hold them? Here's the thing, is if Christ didn't raise from the dead, then all is for naught.
That's right.
Praise the Lord, Christ did raise from the dead.
Amen.
And so here's the thing, is we see this all throughout Scripture. In Matthew chapter 28, we see there was a scheme that to cover up the resurrection. And I believe that the reason was is they realized that there was power in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Matthew chapter 28, we're going to read verses 11 through 15. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all things that were done. And when they had assembled with the others and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And so here's the thing, is they realized the power of the resurrection. Here's the thing, is you know what? They realized that if the resurrection was true and Christ rose from the dead, they were in trouble. And so when it comes down to it, their narrative was in trouble. And so here's the thing, is, you know, kind of as a side note, I wondered, why were the women the first people that Christ appeared to? Well, the thing about it is that when it comes down to it, you know, I believe that it was because they were coming to see. They wanted to prepare the body. They were thinking and meditating on Christ Jesus. And by the way, thinking on and meditating on Christ Jesus will prepare us to receive the truth. What is the truth? The Bible says, thy word is truth. Why does some get it and some don't? Why does it seem like some Christians are victorious and some aren't? I believe it's the difference between studying and meditating on the Word of God. The Bible talks about thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. We're hiding it in God's heart. The Bible talks about while I muse, the fire burned. There's so many things in Scripture about talking about musing and meditating on the Word of God and remembering. And I don't know how many times the word remember is taught in the Bible, but I believe here's the thing, is if we're to be successful Christians, this book ought to be our life.
Amen.
This church ought to be our life. Why? Okay. Because here's the thing, is we're going to be thinking and we're going to be musing. You look at it, the thing about it is the ladies were the first to accept it, so to speak, to realize, hey, Christ had rose from the dead. Hey, there is power in the resurrection. Hey, Christ did exactly what he said. Why? I believe that the reason why they realized this first, or to come to the conclusion, hey, you know what, Christ did what he said, is because they were thinking on it, they were musing. And so anyways, that's a little side note, and that was mini sermonette number one. And anyways, I guess I shouldn't have associated myself with a sermonette. So I think that's going to come back to bite me. But anyways, here's the thing, is when it comes down to it, there are many proofs of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But this morning we're going to be talking about not the proofs of the resurrection, because we could go on all morning about that, but the power of the resurrection. See, in Philippians chapter 3, and I'm going to read this again real quick, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto death. See, Paul here had seen the Savior before and after the resurrection. Paul had seen the effects of the resurrection, the resurrected Christ. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And verse 11. Romans chapter 8, verse 11, the Bible says, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. And we see that, you know what? I too shall be raised by that same power. Here's the thing, is there is power in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And here's the thing, is you know what? I believe Paul here is saying, when he was talking about this, and I lost my place, in Philippians, when he is saying, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Here's the thing is, he said, listen, I want to know Christ, but I also want to know the power of the resurrection. Here's the thing is that I'd like to have that same power. Not the resurrection, but the power that caused the resurrection. Here's the thing is, we know that we're going to experience that power one day when we receive our glorified body. But here's the thing is that, listen, by what power was Christ raised from the dead? By what power will Paul be raised from the dead? The same power that he wanted at his disposal right now. And so here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, you see combustion engines. And I'm fixing up a 61 Buick Skylark. And it has a combustion engine. It doesn't run right now. It's in the process of it. But, you know, combustion engines are everywhere. And you look through it, cars, many cars. I know nowadays Brother Watson came in an electric little scooter. And but here's the thing is, I'm glad you're here, Brother Watson. And so, but anyways, when it comes down to it, there's combustion engines everywhere. In a lawnmower, in a plane. And you see him driving on the street. You know what? You can say that same combustion engine, that power that's in that car, can be used for other things. You can say, well, you know what? I can use it to power my lawnmower. Hopefully it's not the same motor. I see Brother Aaron trying something like that. And anyways, cutting his lawn in 2.8 seconds. But here's the thing. I remember when I was growing up, they used to take go-karts, and they would take the little dinky motor off of there that it came with, and they would put a snowmobile engine on them. And let me tell you, they would fly. I never had one. I drove one, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to kill myself if I drive it again. But anyways, combustion engines are everywhere in our life. And so here's the thing is, the Apostle Paul looks back and sees the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And you know what? He thought to himself, that power can be used for other things. And so there will be a day that that same power that raised up Christ from the dead will quicken this mortal body and raise me from the dead. You know what? The thing about it is each one of us should want to get to know the power of Christ. And here's the thing is that when it comes down to it, when you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 20, the Bible talks about, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Here's the thing is, first fruits, whenever you had a field, you would take the first little bit off, the first fruits, so to speak, and present them to as tithe, and they were to signify the crop that was to come. And so here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, the Bible, the reason why Christ said he was the first fruits is that, listen, the power of the resurrection wasn't over. Here's the thing is, Christ rose from the dead, but you know what? There was a lot of people that needed to get saved, and there was a lot of people that needed to get the gospel. And so here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, he was the first fruits. One day, his saints would raise from the dead as well. And there's many verses that talk about. In fact, Pastor studied the rapture not long ago. And so anyways, here's the thing is, Christ is the first fruits. And so the power of the resurrection can resurrect you from sin. It can resurrect you from defeat. It can resurrect you from bitterness. It can resurrect you from loneliness. It can resurrect you from bondage. That same power is alive and well today.
Amen.
And you know what? It can resurrect your life just like it raised Christ from the dead. Just like one day it'll raise those that have trusted Christ as their Savior from the dead. Paul said, I want to know him, but I also want to know the power of the resurrection. And here's the thing is that the resurrecting powers is just incredible power. While we are waiting to be raised again, we can use that same power to raise other things as well. That same power that raised Christ from the dead can bury your life of sin and raise you to walk in newness of life. Think about the song, Up from the Grave He Arose, with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose the victor of a dark domain, and he lives forever. Here's the thing is, you know what? He rose, and that powerful is powerful. That same resurrection power can make you a new creature in Christ. That same power conquered sin, death, and the grave. That same power can save you from burning in hell for eternity. That same power can set your feet on a solid rock and establish your way. The miracle of the resurrection. It is an awesome miracle when the power of Christ, is used to raise Christ from the grave, but that's not where it ends. The same power is used on a sinner when they turn their turn to Christ and trust Him as their Lord and Savior. That same power turns their life of sin into a life of sanctification. That same power has the power to save a lost sinner. You know, the thing about it is we see the effects of the power of the incredible power of the resurrection. And so here's the thing, is the first thing we see is the power of the of his resurrection has the power to resonate words of Christ in the minds of the unbelievers. When we study the, and I don't have time to read it all, because to be honest with you, I don't know how long I'm going to preach until, so I'm just going to preach until he gets antsy. And or until Brother Watson gets antsy, which was 10 minutes ago. So anyways, but here's the thing, is when it comes down to it, when we study the resurrection, we see that, you know, listen, why was it that they sealed the tomb? And the Bible talks about how the stone was rolled on there and the tomb was sealed and guards were posted. Why? Here's the thing, is the lost didn't just do that for everybody. And you know what? A lot of times the seal was placed on different things as a sign of intimidation. And it was basically, you know, the Roman government, hey, don't mess with the Roman government. There'll be consequences to pay. Listen, Christ wasn't intimidated by the Romans. Christ isn't intimidated by anybody. And here's the thing, is the gospel is a very confrontational gospel. And by the way, we got to share the gospel with everyone we meet. And but anyways, here's the thing, is that seal was to intimidate. And basically, here's the thing, is you know what? If Christ came out of that grave, either man took him or the power of the resurrection took him. And as we study the story about the resurrection, as I kind of alluded to before, many of the believers were in despair. Many of the believers were weeping. I'm sure they were trying to figure out, hey, we followed this Christ for so long. We studied his teaching. We took him, and you know what? We left all for Christ. And here he is in the grave. And listen, I'm sure they were bewildered. And you look at it, as the story of Christ's resurrection comes, many of them didn't believe at first. They thought somebody was messing with them or whatever the case. And so here's the thing is, I don't believe it was the believers, because you know what? Well, obviously the Bible says it wasn't, and so that's good enough. But here's the thing: is the believers were too bewildered. They were too in shambles. And by the way, you know what? If they would have just listened to the words of Christ, it's easy to preach on. But you know what? I'm sure that if I was there, I'd have a hard time with the same thing too. Before we get too self-righteous. But anyways, when it comes down to it, it wasn't the believers that took Christ out of the tomb. And by the way, I don't believe that they probably had the ability to take him out. And but anyways, and so here's the thing, is there's many aspects to that as well, but I believe Christ's enemies were too busy trying to keep him in the tomb. I mean, look at the stone, look at the seal, look at the guards. And basically, turn your Bibles to John chapter 10. So his enemies were just trying to keep him in the tomb. And why? Because here's the thing, is even if somebody took Christ out, they were worried about the accusations of the resurrection being true. We see that in the fact that they were trying to bribe the guards. And but John chapter 10, verses 17 and 18, the Bible says, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have the power to lay it down and the power to take it up again. This commandment have I received from my Father." So here we see that, listen, when it comes down to it, Christ had the power to lay it down. Listen, I know Satan probably thought that he had the victory when Christ was put in the tomb. I'm sure the world thought, hey, we defeated this Jesus. But you know what? The only reason Christ was placed in that tomb, the only reason Christ stayed on the cross, is because Jesus Christ said, you know what? I lay my life down. Nobody took his life. Right. He laid it down. And he laid it down because he loved us. He knew that without an atonement, that you know what, we'd be lost and dying and going to hell. And you know what, our life would be meaningless. You know what, when it comes down to the resurrection is a victory cry for the Christian. Amen. To realize that, hey, listen, Christ wasn't defeated on that day. Christ says, I lay my life down. He says, because for God God so loved the world that he gave. Here's the thing, is that at any time, you know what, Christ could have took his life back. He said, you know what, at any time he could have said, "This, I'm done with the cross. I'm done with hanging here." But you know what? He died on the cross for us. And by the way, 3 days later, he rose from the grave for us. And listen, when it comes down to it, nobody placed him in that tomb. And here's the thing is, I can just see in my mind's eye the anticipation in heaven as Christ is on the cross and as he's being tortured and the crown of thorns shoved into his head and all that Christ went through on the cross. I can just, in my mind's eye, see the angels just ready. Because here's the thing is, the Bible talks about that at any time, well, let's turn there, Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 52. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 52. The Bible says, "And then Jesus said to him, 'Put again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall present me more than 12 legions of angels?'" Here's the thing, is at any time in Christ's life, all he would have had to do is say the word, and just legions of angels would come at his beck and call. I can just see, the legions in heaven armed and ready, thinking about, hey, this is the Savior. What are they doing to the Savior? What are they doing? And here's the thing, is that I can just picture in my mind's eye Christ saying, you know what? That's not my plan. And here's the thing, is my plan is to die on the cross for the world. And I can just I can see all the anticipation just waiting. Christ at any time could have taken and said the word and just wiped out earth. But the love of Christ said, you know what? I lay my life. See, next we see the power of preservation. That according to the records, some 30,000 Jews were crucified. Tell you what, let's play a game. I'm going to name one Jew that was crucified, and you name another. Okay? Jesus Christ.
Peter.
Okay? How about another one?
Paul.
What's that?
Paul.
Paul? Okay. Now listen, how many more do you think you can name?
Barabbas.
Okay? But here's the thing is, you know what all of those have in common? They knew Christ. Christ was the reason we knew their name. And the thing about it is the power of preservation. And the thing about it is we can name a few. But you know what? Many of them we can't. And the thing about it is why did Christ name? Here's the thing, as you look at it, why are there so many people in the world that are angry at Christ? I'll be honest with you, I'm not angry at Santa Claus. And listen, here's the thing, is I know Brother Watson still believes in Santa Claus, but I'm not mad at the Easter Bunny. And so here's the thing, is what when it comes down to it, I'm not mad at the tooth fairy, even though, you know what? The tooth fairy stopped giving me money. And my wife knocks out teeth all the time. No, she's joking. And, but anyways, here's the thing is why are there so many people against Christ? Because he's real. And the thing about it is just think about the name of Christ. The name of Christ is powerful. And so when it comes down to it, the Bible talks about, and we won't talk about how his word is preserved. And listen, the power of the resurrection. And so here's the thing is, the resurrection has the power to declare his deity. Turn your Bibles to Romans. Romans chapter 1 and verse 4. Romans chapter 1 and verse 4, the Bible says that, "And declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead." And here's the thing, is we see Christ's deity. And but anyways, here's the thing, is when it comes down to it, we see that the resurrection is powerful. We saw the evidences of his power. And turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Now keep in mind that the Bible talks about all power is given unto me. And referring to Christ. But Acts chapter 1, 8. "But ye shall receive power." Praise the Lord. "But ye shall receive power," and here's why. "After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And here's the thing is, Paul was saying, listen, I want to know Christ. And I want to know the power of his resurrection. And this is how we do it. Here's the thing is, you know what? God just doesn't give us power for no reason. You know, the thing about it is the power of the resurrection has the power to change the outlook and the direction of a life. It's a very powerful power. The resurrection has the power to turn the darkest day into the greatest miracle. The resurrection has the power to turn the greatest doubt and discouragement into a day of joy and victory. The resurrection power has the ability to turn fear into faith. The power of the resurrection is the power to change a life. And listen, when it comes down to it, there's nothing greater. Here's the thing, it's the greatest decision we can do is to trust Christ as our Lord and Savior and experience that power. But you know what? That's still not where it ends. Where it ends is, I tell you what, there's nothing greater than to be able to share the gospel with somebody else. And I tell you what, it's better than playing a football game. Amen. It's better than winning a basketball game. It's better than Grand Slam. It's better than hockey. It's better than anything else you can experience on earth, is to be able to open the Bible and share the gospel with somebody and see them to trust Christ as their Lord and Savior. Here's the thing is that power. I'll be honest with you, power is worthless unless it's available. Yesterday when I was setting up the PA, and here's the thing is I was looking for a power plug. Because that speaker right there is worthless without power. And here's the thing is that the PA system is worthless without power. And I was looking around. There really wasn't a power plug on this side. And I was looking in the bathroom. There was no power. Here's the thing is there was a power plug right there. Power is worthless unless it's available. The Bible says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. Power plants must be wired to your home. That's the power available to you. But when it comes down to it, that resurrection power is available to us. The question is what are we doing with it? And what have we done with it? So the thing about it is the resurrection is important to the life of a Christian. And the fact that without the resurrection, we would have no gospel. Without the resurrection, there wouldn't be no final salvation. Because here's the thing is, without the resurrection, Christ would be no better than Muhammad. Christ would be no better than Buddha. Christ would be no better than any of these other false gods that you want to name. The thing about it is Christ did raise from the dead. Amen. And listen, we do have a plan of salvation. We do have a way of escape out of hell. We do have a way. You know what? That same power one day is going to reunite us with our loved ones in heaven. Those that have trusted Christ as their Lord and Savior. But the question is the power is available to us. What are we going to do with it? Are we going to be like that speaker without the power, not utilizing what God has given us? The thing about it is there are many souls around us lost and dying. And the thing about it is this, I believe, is one thing that we need to meditate on. Because I'll be honest with you, if we realize that there is a world lost and dying and going to hell, it will change the way we act. If we see that cashier at the grocery store as somebody potentially on their way to hell, how could we not share the gospel with them? If we see that coworker as somebody that might one day be tortured and in anguish where the worm dieth not, here's the thing is, how would we not share the gospel? You know, the thing about it is when we muse on Christ, we see what Christ's heart was all about. Christ's love didn't just extend to the Christians. The Bible says, for God so loved the world. He gave us a way for the world to be saved. He passed that power on to us. And the question is what are we going to do with that power? It's a very powerful power. You know what? I tell you what, it can do wonderful things. The question is what are we going to do with it? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and I thank you so much for just your love. Thank you for your power. I am so thankful to serve a God like you. Dear Heavenly Father, so many times I feel inadequate. I feel like I failed you so many times. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just help us to be good stewards of that power. I pray that you help us to share the gospel with everyone we meet. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.